Hi, this episode of Top M&A Entrepreneurs is brought to you by The Magnolia Firm. I wanted to show you a new listing they got. Profitable literature review site with reoccurring revenue. It's asking $935K, revenue's $300K, and the net $214. Very, very profitable. It's 100% remote. Also, built-in eyeballs, 100K Facebook following, 80K email list. Get all the information, read it, study, make a fully formed offer. Just be mindful, you will have competition. Now let's get on with the show.
Welcome to the Top M&A Entrepreneurs. Today, my guest is Mohit Tater from Black Book Investments. He's out of India. Welcome to the show, Mohit.
Thanks, Sean. Thanks for having me. Great to
be here. Well, I'm glad to have you here because we're doing a long distance and got some good headphones here. So, Mohit, I want to talk to you about the 100 acquisitions you've made, and you sell them to FE International, and you started like 10 years ago. You bought, from $10,000 in size to $1 million. So how did this all start?
So, yeah, I mean, it started like back in when I was in college, actually. I had this urge to, do something of my own, and I always knew that I'm not going to work a day job. I still took up one nonetheless after graduating and saw how it felt. I did it for about a year and I learned how to make websites, on the side. So I was working the evenings and learning how to make websites and all that stuff, learning how to blog so that I can make money online. I'm sure all of us have Googled, how to make money online. So I was doing that and I learned blogging. I learned to make websites, but then I could not make any money blogging, to be honest. I was reviewing movies and whatnot on my blog, but no money. So that went on for about a year and a half, 2 years. I then left my job after 1 year. I thought maybe if I go full time into it, then I'll be more successful. That didn't work too. Then I came across a marketplace called Flippa, Australian company, that was a marketplace for buying and selling websites, profitable websites. And I was like, okay. Why not give it a shot? Because I'm not good at starting something from scratch and growing it. Maybe something that's already making money, I might be able to grow that. So I bought my first website for $2,500, the first one, very first one. And that was basically a social media service that was, you can use that to increase your followers, your likes and all that stuff. So we were providing a service for social media, likes and followers, all of that 10 years ago. 11 years ago, rather. And that worked out well for me. It kind of, I was able to make much more. I was able to grow the site, grow the business, and sell it for about $12,000 in 6 months.
So you took it from $2,500 and you sold
to $12,000.
So what did you do to fix it, to grow it?
Yeah, basically, the current owner was not responding too much to inbound inquiries, and he was just servicing the existing clients. He was not focusing on getting new clients, first of all. He wasn't doing any marketing, which I started doing because this was basically people on social media who were wanting more followers or more likes for their social media profiles. So what better place than find new clients than social media itself? So I started doing outreach, started doing outbound marketing, and of course, entertaining inbound leads also and converting more of those basically. And cross-selling also. So basically the earlier owner was just lazy and I just came in and optimized the revenue and grew revenue almost 3 to 4 fold and was able to exit for 5x almost in 6 months. Not that the amount was too big, but it was big for me back then. Yeah.
But was that the time where you could actually add followers, that
yes.
You can't really do that today, right?
You can. Yeah. It doesn't exist anymore.
Who priced that for you? Did you price that? Did you say, hey, I'm going to sell it for $12,000? Or did you have somebody say, Flippa say it's worth X amount?
So what I do is I actually do auctions for all my sites that I sell on Flippa at least. And I start and I do a reserve of $1, $1 starting bid and $1 reserve. So no matter what it has to sell, it will sell. When people see that it has already crossed the reserve, they're more inclined to bid on that as opposed to, let's say, if I put the reserve at 10,000 and people would have seen that, it's not even close to the reserve, like it's not met reserve yet. So maybe there's no point bidding on it. Whereas if they see that, okay, it's sitting at $500 right now, but it's crossed the reserve. So maybe I have a shot at winning this auction. So they bid $600 and then they keeps going on. So it was market, you know, that dictated the price, basically. It was a gamble that I took. I would have had to sell if the whatever price that, you know, was the last bid, but that gamble worked for me. Yeah.
Do you still, how often do you use Flippin' now? You still use it?
Much less, very like once in a blue moon, maybe when there's a small asset I have to just get rid of, and you know,
yeah.
Otherwise, I mostly sell within my network or with a broker, basically. Yeah,
right. And what about your second deal? What did that look like? You got a little, you got success under your belt, and you're going, okay, what am I going to do now? Do you want to buy bigger, or did you buy same size? What?
Yeah, the second one was I think $5,000, and pretty similar service as the first site.
And I was like, and you pay cash with this, right? It's cash.
Yeah,
right?
Cash. All cash. Yeah, yeah. All cash.
Yeah.
All cash. And I got scammed the second time, basically. So,
what happened?
Totals.
Yeah.
So the revenue that was represented for the business was not coming from that business. It was coming from some other business that was in the background and wasn't shown. And it was claimed to be the revenue for the business that was being sold. So it was not a profitable business, basically. It was just a scam. I got scammed. Yeah.
And what did you do? Was there any recourse with Flippa and say, hey, you guys didn't check this out, or you just lost $5,000?
I did. I just lost it because Flippa is just a marketplace. Just like eBay is. I mean, I don't know, eBay, you might have recourse, but on Flippa, there was no recourse back then. So it was just a dud and I had to live with it. I still had some money from the sale. So at least I was not totally dejected or totally out of money. So I still could manage to continue buying more sites. And had this one been the first deal, then I might have
never done it again, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
So the second one, what did you take away and learn from that and say, hey, we won't do this again, or we'll do better due diligence this time?
Yeah, better due diligence. You need to know where the revenue is coming from. You need to tie the revenue to each order. I mean, it's easy to show revenue coming in to a PayPal account. It's not that tough. So that doesn't mean that the revenue was from that business. So I need proof that the revenue that you're showing and claiming is coming from that business. So whether that's an order on email or that's an order on your Stripe or your PayPal, that needs to be, it needs to be clear that the revenue is for the service or product that you're selling on the site that you're selling, basically.
Yeah. How do you do that though? I mean, do you guys have them on the phone and talk or Zoom, or, you know, they could do screenshots and go, again, it's not really connected. It's just a screenshot of another business. Right.
Yeah, so we've come a long way since then, to be honest. So mostly we buy, you know, either off market or from brokerages now. And they've done their vetting to quite an extent. So that's one thing. But we have a full team, like in-house team, that focuses solely on due diligence. And they're experts in what they do. So from technical points to, you know, financial points, everything is covered. And we get access to their affiliate accounts as a guest user, or we get access to their reports directly from an ad network, let's say AdSense or MediaWine or something like that. So we know from the source where the money is coming. We need to get to that source and verify that income from the source, not from what they're saying.
Yeah, so only you get the login credentials, and then they allow you to log in. Is that like a 30-day pass or something, or they just change it if you decide to pass on it?
Yeah, so they just add us as a user on their account so we can go and check the revenue. We can't do any changes. We can just go see the revenue. And that happens during the inspection period, which is typically 14 calendar days. So we do that during the inspection period. If it passes, well and good. If it doesn't, then we might reverse the deal, basically.
Yeah, so how long did you keep buying from Flippa, or did you start? When did you start looking for other deals other than Flippa? Which is starter site. Yeah,
yeah, 2-3 years, at least 2-3 years, years maybe. Yeah.
And what did you like doing best? What kind of content sites or affiliate sites or e-commerce sites or SaaS or what?
So we only do content sites monetized via affiliate income and or display ads. We don't do e-commerce or SaaS yet. Mostly content websites.
And when did you start moving bigger? You know, you find yourself doing all the work and you're going, okay, you know, same amount of work goes into this as the other one. Exactly. When do I start moving up?
Yeah. So about in 2014, you know, I was, I'd sold another of my website and I was wanting to visit the US. I was always fascinated and I had friends there. So I was visiting there, stayed at my friend's place in Midtown Manhattan. He was a investment banker. He saw what I was doing and, you know, I was working out of home or cafes every day and then making and doing all right. So he was like, what do you do? And I told him what I did. And he said, you know, I have some money lying around. So why don't I put money with you and you can buy something for me and manage it? So that's when the idea for Black Book came about, that there was a demand for alternative assets that can give a higher ROI. And that's when Black Book was born in 2014. And then we bought a site for my friend. And then, you know, it gave good returns to him. So he got his friends involved. He got his family involved. And then slowly we started moving into the bigger leagues.
Accredited investor that you happen to know put in money. Yeah. What kind of money are we talking about? 25, 50K,
100K? Yeah, 50K, something like that.
Yeah. And what percentage or equity did this give him of the business or percentage of cash flow? Yeah.
So cash flow, 50%. I had 50% cash flow, but his ownership was 100%. And if we made any capital gains on the sale, that would also be split 50-50.
Okay. So there was no target in mind. He just offered the 50K to put up. So how long between you, taking the money or getting a commitment from the money? Did he give you the money, or did he make a commitment?
I got a commitment, yeah. It's like, you find something good for me, and we can buy it, yeah.
And how long did it take you to find something good?
About a month, I think, yeah.
Yeah. And then you buy it, so you come back to him and say, hey, it's doing – what did you give him as far as a presentation? Was it official pitch deck or just the numbers?
Oh, no, he was like a good friend of mine, so I just gave him the numbers. He was a finance whiz. He was a mathematics genius, so – he just needed the numbers to make sense of it. And then he was like, you know, I trust you. So go do your thing and, let me know if I can help you.
Yeah. And you go buy it. You go do your thing. And do you have a time period where you do your thing? Or do you say, hey, we're going to fix this, this, and this, and then we're selling it, regardless of the time?
I buy to hold forever. That's what my strategy is.
Oh,
I
like buy cash. And hold forever?
That's what my strategy is. I would like to do that. And I try doing that with all my assets under, you know, my ownership. But we didn't have a timeline in mind, to be honest. We just went in and started, you know, getting cash flow from that. And who doesn't like cash flow? So at least I do. So there was no initial intention to flip it. So we did keep it for 3 years or more, I think.
Yeah. And he owned how much of the cash flow? 50%?
50%, yeah.
Yeah, 50%. And how much did he make on that, his original 50,000?
Oh, yeah, I think he made it to 1.5 times over in the period that he held it.
In a 3-year period? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe 1.75 times. And also, he made a decent chunk of change when we exited the investment. So I would say annualized, he would have probably netted 70%, maybe 60%. But 50%
over a 3-year period.
Yeah, annualized. 50% annualized.
Oh, 50% back, annualized.
Back then, the assets were really cheap because we could buy for multiples, 12x multiple or 20x multiples of monthly profit, 18x multiple. Now you cannot buy something half decent for less than 40x.
So yeah.
The ROI has halved, more than, you know, less than half actually.
So many people coming into the business.
Exactly. Yeah. So much money chasing the deals. Yeah. So much money chasing the deals.
Yeah. Private equity. Where did you find that deal?
That was, I think, on Flippa only, I think. Yeah.
Flippa again? Yeah. And what kind of revenue was it doing then?
I think it was doing about $2,500 or something.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not a lot. And you took it to what in a 3-year period?
Well, we took it to, I think, more than 6,000, I think.
6,000?
Yeah, yeah.
And you sold that in 3 years. And he said, how was this conversation with him? How much time did you spend with him? He's your friend. He said, hey, we're doing this. And he said, you should sell? Or we should sell, or we've tapped out? What was that conversation like?
Yeah, I mean, it was like he said, okay, we made, you know, good money on this. We made our returns. Let's see if we can sell this thing. Because he had made the money already on it. And then we, I think, 50, sold it for one.
Yeah. Yeah. 50X yeah, per year. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And we sold it for 140K, I think.
Wow. That's good. And then what happened next after that? You go, hey, we got something here. I'm trying to find out when the point was, like, you should start at an investment fund or.
No, that was not until later, because until, you know, 2018, I think 2019, I was just catering to one-on-one investors.
Yeah.
You can come to me and I can help you buy a website and then I can manage it for you. Then when the risks started increasing and the prices started going up, I thought maybe it's not worth it doing it for individual investor anymore, because even for $100,000, I cannot get something decent enough. So might as well, you know, reduce the ticket size to maybe $25,000 and pool money from multiple people to buy multiple assets so that the risk is spread across multiple people and, you know, multiple sites. So yeah, reducing your overall risk basically.
Yeah. Yeah, let me go back a little, rewind a little bit and ask, was there any deals that didn't work out?
There was a business that I think that we bought in 2017. It was a service-based business actually, which was, I don't even remember what, it was basically a UK-based business. And there's a document in the UK called Deedpoll, D-E-E-D-P-O-L-L. It does something basically. You need that document to do something. I don't even remember now. So 20, 30 bucks, we were selling it for 20, 30 quid. And you just entered your name and all the details that we needed to make that form for you. And then we would, you know, email you the form, a postal form, actually like mail you physically that form. We had a VA in the UK who was doing all the mailing. That worked fine for a bit, but then kind of started declining for no good reason, apparently. Soon after we bought it. So we took a loss on that one, basically. I think we bought it for about 150K.
Yeah. Yeah. Was that outside your specialty expertise, you feel? Yeah.
I think so. And that could have been the reason of its decline. I think, yeah, that it didn't work.
You didn't have any control over flow of customers.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
What, why did you structure your deals where they would own 100% of the business? I mean, I guess with your friend, that's easy to do. But when now you, if you step outside people you don't know and try to explain that to them, and then go, hey, well, what happens if the deal goes bad? I own a website or a business not doing anything, right?
Yeah. So why they own 100% of it? Because
yeah,
they put
why
up
was
all
it the 100% versus, you know, because, hey, I own 50% of, you know, when we sell, when we capitalize.
So, I know. So I own the cash flow because I didn't put up any money to buy it. So 100% of the money.
Oh, I see. Right.
I don't put up. I just take the 50% of the cash flow and 50% of the upside, the capital gain, for doing the services that I do to grow the business or run and manage the business, basically.
Yeah.
I don't put up any money up front. Yeah.
And then when did you switch over to Black Book Investments?
So yeah, we started in 2014 officially.
Yeah.
And then slowly started, you know, gathering clients, you know, friends and family, extended friends and family, all through references. I was not doing any kind of marketing. It was just word of mouth, basically. And I was growing like slow and steady. Yeah.
Was this a traditional fund where there's capital to deploy, or was this a syndicate deal by deal?
So initially, like I said, we would work with investors one-on-one, and then we would get a commitment from them. And then we'll start looking for that. Let's say you were an investor who wanted to invest 100,000 with me, then I would start looking for a deal for you for that amount of money. And then if I found something good, I would present it to you and you would look at it and tell me your thoughts on it. And then we can go from there. But now it's totally at our discretion. We have our own group buy. It's not a fund. It's more like a group buy. It's a multi-member LLC. All the investors are members in that LLC. And we raise money once every year. But now we're changing that to once every, you know, twice every year, actually, or maybe on a deal basis. So right now, so far, we have raised money and then started acquiring assets. And it's at our discretion completely because there's so many investors in the group buy. We cannot ask everyone what we're buying. So we have more freedom. And now we're thinking of switching to deal basis, acquisition basis. So we identify the deal first and then raise the money for that, as opposed to raising money first and then finding the deal, because sometimes even 90 days are not enough to find a good deal to deploy all the capital.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that a U.S. legal fund structure, like a 506C or something?
Yeah, I think we have a CFO who has better details on that one, but it's a multi-member Wyoming LLC. Yeah.
Okay. So you decided, how much did you kind of run, or what was the minimum commitment from people that you asked for on this fund, like 25, 50K?
25K.
And look, 25K. I'm like, same thing. If you're trying to buy a business and then you go, gosh, I just want to raise a fund to have investors help me go find business, I go, well, that's, you got to run those parallel, because you're going to spend a lot of time raising capital, talking to investors, asking for money, getting commitments, getting, you know, people to deposit the money. That takes a lot of time while you're trying to look for a business. Same time, that's a lot of energy.
It is. So that's the reason, you know, I have to do everything in parallel, raise money in parallel, look for deals in parallel. You know, I cannot do it one after the other, because once the money is in, the clock starts ticking, because for the investor, they have already given you the money, you know, so for them, the date of deployment is the day when they give you the money, not the day when I go buy a site for that money. You know,
so, is there a date of I need it back if you didn't find anything?
90 days is what we ask for to look for deals and deploy the capital. Yeah. And fortunately, until now, we have been able to do that. But it got really tough last time around. So what we're doing is we're switching to identifying assets first and then raising money for that, because now we have goodwill and trust in the market. So when we go to investors with the deal, even the existing investors are interested in, you know, putting more money. So should not be that.
How many investors do you have in your kind of family that you can go to?
In our current
group buy, that you can send an email to and say, hey, we got a great deal. We got an LOI on it.
Yeah.
What's that email list look like?
About 50, I would say.
50.
40 to 50. Yeah, 40 to 50. Yeah.
And the minimum commitment is what for?
So for subsequent rounds, it's $10,000. If you've invested 25K before, you can do so in multiples of 10,000 from there on.
Yeah. And let's talk about these deals now. Are they still affiliate deals that you look for? And how big?
So we're doing deals like $100,000 to $500,000 mostly. But around $200,000 to $250,000 is the median, I would say. And these are content sites, affiliate sites, display ad sites. So yeah, majorly content still.
Yeah. And where do you find those? Those are off market or on market deals?
Now we're finding more and more off market, and more people are coming to us to sell their sites because they know we buy and we do a quick close, all cash. So we get the deals before even the brokerages get them. In more than one instance, people have come to us and then maybe we didn't buy it or we passed it over, and then they got, you know, they went ahead and listed with a brokerage, basically. Yeah.
Interesting. And where do you sell these sites that once you've, you know, rehabbed them or grown them?
Either, again, in the network or on a brokerage.
Yeah.
If it's a small one, maybe Flippa. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you, any other sites like FE International or any of those other sites like that?
Yeah, we mostly buy from these big brokers, Quite Light, FE, Empire Flippers. Sometimes we'll sell on, based on the size, I mean, like FE deals with bigger size of businesses. So, and they're more specialized in software businesses, I'd say. So it's different. Yeah.
Yeah, they're definitely, Thomas Smail is definitely going larger now.
Oh, yeah.
And what do you like about what you're doing here, the whole process? Do you like finding the deals? Do you like raising capital? Do you like fixing the deals? Or are you just like working above it and assigning people to it?
Yeah. So mostly I'm working above it and assigning people to it. But yeah, what I like doing is finding the deals and then doing the negotiations, basically. I think I'm fairly good at doing that. And I'm able to, you know, buy at the right price, because I think the money is made in the buy and not the sell. So if you buy it for the right price, I think you're sorted at least to some extent. And then your team can go in, then my team comes in, and then they do their thing to grow the site. Of course, I'm technical too. I know SEO, but I've hired much smarter people than, you know, much smarter SEOs than I am to grow these sites.
Yeah. When you say you make the money when you buy, I understand that. When you see a good deal and it's overpriced, do you make an offer on it, or do you just say, hey, this guy's not going to budge, he's overpriced?
I wait them out. It's just a waiting game. I know how long it has been listed for on the market. And more often than not, I am able to wait them out to the point where they're like, okay, no one's buying this at this price that I've listed at. Let's see. And I'm constantly in touch with them. For one deal that was listed in 2021, January or February, we were talking to them, you know, they were priced high, but I was in touch with them all these months, and we ended up buying it 12 months later because I was taking updates from the seller every other month. How is the business doing? What's the new P&L? Can you share the numbers? And slowly I saw the multiple and the price reducing. The multiple reducing, actually, the business was growing, but the multiple was reducing. So after even 12 months, they could not sell. I came in with an offer that I thought they would, you know, it would be hard for them to refuse it. And they accepted the offer, even though at the same time, they had two more offers. But then they ended up taking my offer, which was probably a little less than the other offers. But then because I had built a rapport with the seller over the last 12 months, they felt more comfortable selling to me.
Yeah. Did you buy 100% of it? Always
for that, for
yeah,
no, for that one, we bought about 85%. Yeah, now more and more deals, we're doing bigger deals like $500,000 deals and $1 million deals. So, we are trying to have a rollover equity. So, 20-25%, we buy about 70-75%, 80%. So, yeah, it gives us some cushion and some security, basically.
Yeah, when you say you're in contact with them, do you reach, you see a good deal on Flippa or some other site, do you reach out to them early on, or do you kind of hold off and go, hey, the price is too high, I'm going to wait till he's met reality?
No, so I schedule a call with them. I get on a call with them. I understand the business. I understand the numbers. I get to understand the seller, what their intention is, what their motivation is to sell, what their plans are, why do they need the money, all of that. Once that is done, you know, some sort of rapport is built between me and the seller, and thereon they start knowing me. And since, you know, they can Google me and search me and my company and find that I do this for a living, and we're, you know, one of the known players in the market. So, you know, they start having an inclination towards selling to me if they were ever to sell.
Right. At whatever. Do they price, ask so. For your personal financial statement or your net worth, your ability to purchase? No. Or are they just, no. You just ask them to go to look at your website and your background and somebody so. Okay.
Yes, yeah. Yes. They just need to Google my name, and more often than not, they're just satisfied with that.
Yeah. So. Do you have any partners in this aside from your investors? Do you have any equity partners or just no?
No.
Yeah. Is this your buddy that worked with you early on? Is he still an investor and partner in this?
No, he's out of the game. He's done his own startup and he's done really well. So, yeah, this would be loose change for him now.
Yeah.
Brought to you by the Magnolia Firm. Building a business is a massive accomplishment, and selling it is one of the biggest decisions of your life. When it comes time to get acquired, you deserve the highest possible value and the best fit buyers. To get a free 15-minute valuation and tips to maximize your exit, visit the link down below in the description. Now let's get on with the show.
Yeah, tell me about this process back to this list of 50 investors. How long did that take you to cultivate and present to them? I mean, if anybody knows the story of AngelList, it kind of started the same way 15 years ago, just an email list. Hey, exactly. You want to invest in this? Yes or no, right? Oh, what is it? And then you'd send the pitch deck, and they get back to you, goes, I do this. It's much more formalized legally now, but...
Yeah.
And at the big, it's bigger, like, I don't know, 100,000 people on the email list. Yeah.
Totally. So, yeah, we have an investor readiness questionnaire on our site, which prospective investors can fill out, and then we can schedule a call with them. So we have a list of about 300, 400 investors who have shown interest in investing in online businesses and websites. And out of those, you know, more than 50 have actually invested. So if you talk about that 50, those people have actually put money where their mouth is, and we can easily go to them and, you know, raise more money from them. And then
right.
at a broader level, those people who have not invested but have shown interest in doing it, it's about 300 to 400 people. And it's taken over, I think, 7-8 years to cultivate that list.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. What kind of investors are those? What do these high net worth individuals look like? And are they accredited investors, non-accredited? Or do you have to comply with that asking for money? You're in India versus United States. Now, if I was asked for that kind of money in the United States with another U.S. citizen, they'd have to be accredited investors. Verified.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the beauty is that I'm just a facilitator. I don't take money from anyone. I'm nowhere involved in the deal. I facilitate the deal, and the money goes from the buyer directly to escrow. From there, it goes to the seller. I just facilitate the whole thing. So to buy an asset, to buy a website, you don't need to be accredited investor. You need to be accredited if you're investing in a fund of sorts. But for this purpose, you don't need to be. But most of our investors are HNIs, high net worth individuals, UHNIs, and there are professionals like doctors, lawyers, entrepreneurs, startup founders, you know, and just the, you know, e-commerce owners, like entrepreneurs like myself, you know, similar, who want to diversify their income streams, basically.
So how do you set that up with these individuals on the deal? So let's say I find a $500,000 website. Do you put up any money yourself?
Yeah. So for the group buy, we do put up money. Our CFO has put money. I have put money into the group buy.
And what's your minimum amount that you put in?
Same for me.
25% or 25K.
25K. Yeah. 10%. You can say 10%.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
And do you go, what do you say to these investors? Like, hey, if you want in the deal, you need to send 25K to escrow.com or what?
No, for the group buy, we have to get the money into the multi-member LLC. So it would be infused.
Multi-member LLC, yeah.
It would be infused as capital, basically, from the members.
Okay. And
so it's not an investment. It's a capital to start your business.
Gotcha. And that's usually for what, 85-80% of the business now, 75% of the business that you purchase from the seller?
So now with the group buy, we purchase 100% now.
Oh, it's with, back to, with, yeah, it's 100%, yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. With one-on-one, it used to be, you know, a rollover equity in some cases. With this one, we buy, because already there are so many investors involved in the group buy, it just makes things complicated to have the, you know, seller also on board. So we buy 100% of it into the group buy, and a certain percentage of the whole portfolio, basically, and we keep adding to the portfolio. So
is it an individual specific deal, or it's a portfolio of businesses?
So far it's a portfolio business, but even now when we buy any new deals, either we're going to do separate LLCs for those ones, that would be individual deals, and whoever invests in those will get percentages of that business in the ratio of their investment.
So when you do sell a percentage of the portfolio or percentage equity in the portfolio, what do they own? Do they get a dividend, or is the dividend suspended until for 6 to 12 months, or what does that look like?
No. So first of all, they own equity in the LLC, in the company, in the ratio of their investment. Secondly, they get rights to dividend, which are paid out from the first quarter itself, because these businesses are cash flowing. There's no reason for us to hold back on any income coming in. So we start giving dividends from day one. How we structure it is, out of the 100% revenue coming in, we distribute 40% as dividends, which are paid out quarterly, and we reinvest 30% of the revenue back into the growth of the websites, and the remaining 30% is Black Book's fee, basically, to manage and grow these sites.
Gotcha. And what is that? And how many websites are you doing concurrently purchasing and growing and seeking investment for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About, yeah, seeking investment for maybe one to two. We're buying actively, but we're not buying all at once.
But
yeah, at any point of time, we have about, let's say, 20, 25 sites in our portfolio. And those are in different stages of growth. Some are in maintenance mode, some are in growth mode, some are in the exit phase. And yeah, so about 20, 25, out of which 10 would be like we are working on actively, and rest would be like, you know, a little bit passive.
Yeah. Yeah. How many people do you have working for you?
About 30 full-time people.
30? And are these people interfacing with investors, or is just that's just you?
Me and my executive assistant.
Okay.
And the CFO.
And the CFO.
Because I cannot, investors have queries from time to time, so the CFO takes care of those.
Yeah. Where did you find that CFO to work with?
He was, he was a good friend of mine from my hometown. He's a CPA. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like you definitely evolve, you know, you do these small deals by yourself, then you brought investors on, and then you try to fund, and now you're doing a kind of more of a syndicate. Now, where's this going to go? Where do you think it's eventually going to go, where somebody's already doing exactly what you want? You know, where do you think you're going to end up?
Yeah, good question. So it's a labor intensive business to, you know, to manage these active businesses. It's not like a passive investment where I can just buy some stocks and forget about it.
Right.
So, and finding talent, good talent to run these businesses is again a challenge. So I can only scale it so much. So what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be diversifying into other types of businesses. So like agencies, you know, marketing agencies, SEO agencies, I'm going to be looking at buying those agencies now, and not just content sites, which would these would be companies and not just websites, and they would come with their own teams. And I can install a CEO in place to, you know, grow that business further. So that would save me the hassle of finding a whole new team to run that business, basically. So I'm going to go bigger, buy bigger, because if you're buying for $200,000, there's no team. It's only, run by the owner himself or herself, because you can't afford a team at such a lower level. So I'm looking to buy bigger businesses, raise more money, buy bigger businesses, and big businesses that come with a team already in place. So then I own multiple companies through the portfolio, basically.
And the agency and somebody in that role is actually growing the business, and you're just getting the roll up of the numbers. Right.
That is correct. Yeah. That's the next step from here. I don't have like the super end goal in mind yet, but I know the next few steps.
It's kind of formulated and crystallizing in your head somehow. Yeah. Yeah. And who do you get advice from or counsel or mentorship from to kind of move in this direction to like help you avoid big landmines?
Yeah, true. So what we're doing right now is very handful of people that are doing what we're doing right now. So, and lucky for me, most of those people are known to me, and you know, I'm on good terms with them. I'm friends with them. So we do like, you know, quarterly calls and just see what's the lay of the land and how is the market evolving? What are they doing? You know, I tell them what I'm planning to do, and then we brainstorm basically. And I'm also part of a couple of other masterminds where there are people from different industries also, but online businesses. So I get to know other forms of other you know, businesses in the online space and what's happening with them. So you got to be
so
updated.
So who in this mastermind that you kind of have that's doing what you're doing? Is it, if I said Michael Berislawski?
You named him. Yeah. There you go.
He's doing some amazing things. Right.
Yes. We have a call scheduled every 8 weeks. Like he automated every 8 weeks. We have a call scheduled. So we're like, you know, just catching up right now. He's in Chiang Mai, you know, and he's been the game longer than I. So he's been there for much longer, but he's got
three funds. I mean, the last time I talked to him is he's working on his last $10 million fund, committed fund to acquire businesses.
Yes.
He's a great guy. Why not go that direction? I know you're going away from the fund stuff, which he's doing, but he's doing, you know, his return on investment to his investors like 170% per fund, which is amazing. Is it, why are you making this personal decision not to go that direction?
No, so I'm just not calling it a fund. It is a fund, but
it is a fund.
It's a group. Okay. It's structured in a way where I don't have to comply with any regulations like SEC and all, because there's a lot of cost involved there.
Oh, but here, lots.
It's more like a team of people coming together to start a business where everyone is a part of the LLC and they are a member of that in the proportion to their investment. So it's not like I'm not doing it. I'm doing it pretty much the same way. It's like, but it's just that I'm doing it in a rolling way. It's like a rolling fund and not like a one-time raise. And then, but contrary to that, I'm doing the other one too, with one of the biggest marketplaces. In fact, the biggest one, Empire Flippers. Justin and Joe, they're good friends of mine. Empire Flippers is the biggest marketplace for buying and selling online businesses. And 3 years ago, they spun off a sister company, which was called Empire Flippers Capital, which is now rebranded to WebStreet. Which is run by Mike Rankovich now. And that company basically pairs investors to portfolio operators like me, and then they raise money and we deploy that money and grow that. So I've done three rounds with them and raised over $4 million with them. And we've bought $4 million worth of websites and businesses using, you know, that money that they raised and deployed that capital. And for our fund two, which we did in 2022, we were able to, last quarter returns were 10% for the quarter that we were able to give for that second round of investment that we raised with WebStreet. So just that last quarter was 10% ROI.
Yeah. And, so, I mean, Joe Bignotti, I sold my site through him, you know, for, I don't know, probably 6 years ago now. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got a pretty big list of investors that don't want to manage sites anymore, but want to put their money to work.
Or they don't know how to. They have the money.
Right.
They just don't know. Yeah. So that's where.
What are the fees for that? Yes. What does that look like? I mean, they're actually presenting investors to you, so they got to be charging something, right?
So yeah, they're always. I don't interface with the investors. It's them. It's their face. It's their name on the line. It's not me. Yeah. My name is also there because it's shown, but I don't interface with the investors. So, you know, they don't split the revenue, they split the profits. So let's say, you know, 100% of the profits that we get, they're split into different parts. 66.67% goes to investors as dividends, 2/3 of the profits. 20% goes to me as the operator,
operator,
the portfolio manager,
right.
as the carry, 20%. 3.33% goes to advisors of WebStreet.
Is that 3.3? Did you say, or 33?
3.33. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's 66.66 plus 3.33 plus 20. That's 90. 70 plus 20, 90. 3.33 is for the advisors that help out with the acquisitions, with the sale, with the due diligence, all of that. And 10% goes to Empire Flippers of the profit, basically. And that is the same
time of capital gains recapitalizing or selling the business. Yeah.
No, it goes both ways. Goes for the recurring income every month, which is paid out quarterly, and also goes for the any profit made, any capital gains made when we sell. So it's both.
Yeah. Do you like that? I mean, are you happy with that, or do you think it's a faster way to money? You know, because there's not a lot of angel list type opportunities out there, no. And I think you know these guys are in front of that, which is great. I know that Flippa is doing something similar to that. Yeah.
Yeah, but these guys are ahead, I think, and they have, you know, there are the forerunners in the market, and I think. It gives me more visibility, my company more visibility. I don't have to worry about the raising investment part now, so I can focus on the acquisitions.
Yeah.
I can do bigger acquisitions. I don't have to manage the investors. So there's a lot of things that are good that come along with it.
And it's worth the 10%.
Yeah, for me, 20% actually. Yeah, 10% for the Empire Flippers. For Empire. It is worth the 20. Yeah, I thought it might be less, but if you do enough of these funds, it adds up. It might not have worked had it been just one or two funds, but since I'm doing it, you know, repetitively every, let's say every year I'm doing a fund with them. I might be doing two with them now going forward every year. So cumulatively, these 20% add, this 20% adds up basically.
Yeah. So this 4 million rolling fund, I mean, what was it, a specific deal that you put up there, or you just put up your idea for a portfolio up there?
So yeah, so the rolling fund is Black Book's own fund, which is the multi-member LT.
Yeah, that's here, separate not, from the Empire Flippers.
Yeah, here it is not a rolling fund. It is a one-time fund. We raise the money beforehand. We get commitments based on my thesis that, okay, Mohit Tatar is the operator, Black Book Investments. This is what he's going to do. This is what he's going to buy. These are the numbers that, you know, he's looking at deals, looking at deals, these kind of deals. We define that, you know, predefine that. So people know that, okay, what they're putting money in. They don't know the targets, but they don't, they know the broader picture that, okay, Mohit is going to invest in content websites ranging from $100,000 to $1 million. So we raise the money first in a 60-day period, let's say, and then we go and buy assets and websites using that money. And 90-day, that's a 90-day period, basically.
Yeah. And it's $4 million, that fund. Sounds like it. There's a lot of money ready to put to work.
Yeah,
it was is, that an is, oversubscribe is. Or to way too much excitement saying whoa yeah. I mean we can't spend $4 million, that's a lot of websites.
So that was across three funds, 1 million, 1.5 million and 1.6 million across three funds, and all of them were oversubscribed, and all of them were, luckily for me, there are other operators like me too. Some are doing content sites, some are doing FBA, some are doing e-commerce. So lucky for us, ours was, whichever fund round we did, ours was the first one to get fully funded and, you know, get oversubscribed.
And then what did they
start with,
So these are people on Empire Flippers list. They're investors, high net worth individuals, or people that just don't want to operate anymore. Maybe second time serial entrepreneurs. Yes. What do you have to deliver to them? Is it a formalized pitch deck or a private placement memorandum or what? What are they
Nothing.
Doing?
Nothing. I have full discretion on what I'm buying and whatnot. I have to present a presentation to the Web Street guys, the Empire Flippers guys, that why I'm looking at a certain asset and why I want to buy it and why I think that's a good asset to buy, good acquisition, which I do over a Loom video. And I run, they have a sheet where they've done the modeling. So I plug in the numbers based on what my projections are, and based on historical numbers and the forward projections, which I explain why I've put those numbers in, we calculate the ROI. And then we also analyze the risks associated with the business and weigh the pros and cons. And then if, you know, if it's all good, I tell them, okay, I'm looking to bid or offer, make an offer on this site for this much money. And then they approve it.
And they don't care what site it is. Where you buy it from, where the funds come in.
For the first two funds, it solely had to be bought from Empire Flippers. Yeah. But now since it's spun off into its own entity, Web Street, we have, you know, we can buy from anywhere, even off market. Ours was the first fund to do an off market deal on Web Street.
So when you enter these projections that you think it can do based upon your expertise, do they have any interaction with you about saying, no, we think those are too high, too exaggerated? Do they veto it? Or
So I am anyways conservative when it comes to revenue, so it hasn't come to it. But yeah, if it's too optimistic, they do ask, you know, that these look too optimistic, maybe we can dial them down.
Yeah.
Yes. That's their job. That's the advisor's job too, right? That's what they're getting paid
for. And what is this qualification process you have to go through to be on Web Street to say,
I think they have a formal process in place to vet operators and portfolio operators like myself. They have, I think, vetted over 300 or 400 operators and selected about maybe 15 or something. 12 to 15.
So it's a very small group. Yeah.
It's a very small group and strictly, they're very strict because they're entrusting you with so much money. And their investors are entrusting them with so much money, which they're then entrusting you with. So they need to know that you're a solid guy or girl and that you can deliver and that you've done it before. It's not your first rodeo, right? So, and they know pretty much everyone in the industry. So They can do reference checks. They can do, you know, your background checks. They can do your previous performance checks, all of that. They ask for proofs, your history, you know, things you've done in the past. So all of that. It's a long process.
Yeah. And so you find a site, for an example, $500,000, you need to raise funds. Sounds like it oversubscribes to that.
No, we raise the funds first, and then we find
the site. You raise the funds first, but
then we find the site.
Do they disperse that to go purchase the acquisition? But if you need capital ongoing, do they support that also?
So let's say we raised about $1 million. So what we do is we keep 10% aside for growth capital and operations for the first year or so. So we only deploy $900,000. That's my strategy, basically. It doesn't have to be for everyone.
Yeah.
So we keep some capital aside for the growth part, basically. And also, I forgot to mention that we, as portfolio operators, have to put in our own money also into the fund, 5% to 6%.
Okay. Gotcha. You got your skin in the game.
Got to have skin in the game, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. And where are you at with that process? How many have you purchased from the Empire Web Street fund?
Yeah. First round, we bought two websites from Empire Flippers. Second round, we bought five sites from Empire Flippers. Third round, we have bought one from Empire Flippers and one from another broker and one off market, basically.
Yeah. When you say bought five sites, now you're buying like you're going grocery shopping. It increases the risk a little bit that you get overconfident?
No, actually, I'm again very conservative. We have multiple vetting processes for the site before it passes, and we have multiple people doing it, because one person can have an oversight, two people can have it, but three people cannot have the same oversight. So we look at it from multiple angles. And we do a very thorough vetting of these businesses, these sites. And only if we like it, then we present it to the Web Street team. And then they do their vetting. So it's multiple layers of vetting,
Gotcha. Yeah. And this is Web Street's. I got to check into this because I wasn't familiar with it. But is it run out of New York or run out of wherever? Where's Joe at? He's in Thailand too, isn't he? Somewhere?
Joe is in Manila, Philippines. Philippines. Manila.
Yeah.
Yeah, I spoke to him a few days ago. Justin is traveling in Switzerland right now, but he's mostly in Thailand. But he's spending more time in the States. Web Street is US-based. Delaware, I think.
Interesting. Yeah. And are you going to keep doing that? Or you have some other bigger plans, buy a $20 million site and see what you can do with it?
So slowly we have increased the amount of money we're raising with Web Street. I'm hoping to do bigger rounds with them, like 4 or 5 million, maybe bigger, even bigger than those, and then buy real companies, like get into the M&A space, like at the private equity level. Right now we're micro private equity, but
because you're reselling back. I mean, you're building these businesses, you're selling back to Empire Flippers people, which is a different multiple.
Yes.
Then if you go a little more lower middle market, higher middle up market to private equity groups, then you're going to start getting 10x's, 20x's.
That's where we want to be. That's where we want to be in the next 2-3 years. And we need more money to get there, to raise. So it's relatively easier to take a $3-4 million business and sell it for $10 million as opposed to taking a $300,000 business and taking it to $3 million.
Yeah.
So that's where we are at.
Yeah, that's interesting. So you've got a couple needs. You're looking for agencies to help you manage these growth. And what else do you need?
No, so we have our in-house team who is basically managing, running, growing all of these businesses. What we're doing is we're trying to we're trying to diversify into other business models, not just content, because content is volatile. And especially with AI coming in, it's going to be more volatile from here on. So we are wanting to get into the services industry where we can buy service-based companies like marketing agencies, PR agencies, SEO agencies, and then run them with their teams and then have synergies across the portfolio. So those would be still valuable. Content sites can be more vulnerable to Google updates and more volatile.
SEO agencies and Google just dropping everything they're doing and putting it into AI right now. So, yeah.
Yep. So we got to diversify the business models, the types of businesses that we are buying, basically.
Yeah. And do you think, what about, are you going to stay with affiliate sites to go after, or do you think there's a cap on that and you may have to go to SaaS or something else?
No, we're going to keep with them. It's just that we're not going to be 100% into affiliate sites. We'll reduce the percentage slowly and try diversifying into other forms of monetizations, like you said, SaaS and agencies. Maybe e-commerce down the line. No plans as of yet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Mohit, this is great conversation. I really appreciate the time you spent with me, man. Yeah.
No problem, John. It was lovely speaking. I mean, it's been a long while where, you know, I've been asked such insightful questions, to be honest. And I had to think, you know, to answer this. So really, yeah, my mind is racing now. It's 10:30. Well, 10:30 in the night here. Yeah.
Because everybody that listens to this, they go, oh, yeah, great. I made my first million. It's like, hey, you know, I'm worth 30 million. Yeah, but how did you get there? Like, what was the first steps you take? What were the failures along the way? And who's your mentors that help you get there?
Exactly. And I must compliment you on the questions, because most of the podcasts I do, 80% of the questions are the same. But with you, 80% of them were different than all others. Only 20% were overlapping. So I must, that made me actually think, because I've done it so many times that I just, you know, it's like, I know it in the back of, like, the back of my hand, what I have to say. But every question of yours was like, you know, making me think. And then I'm like, okay, I need to think and answer.
Yeah. Well, good, man. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. So thanks for being on the Top M&A Entrepreneurs Podcast.
Thank you, John. Thank you.
All right.
I hope this video has inspired you. If you need help buying your first million-dollar business, make sure to visit me at dealflowsystem.net. If you like this video, make sure you subscribe down below. Comment on it, share it, tell everyone about it. And thanks for watching.